Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Personally. Let's go to the nation's capital. He is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year and, of course, a key member of the 85 Woof Woof Bears, a junkyard dog forever. He is Washington head coach Ron Rivera joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Ron, as always, thanks for the time. How are you feeling today, bud?
Doing good. Just, you know, excited, getting ready to finish up and get on break.
Yeah, I imagine that's the case. It's been a crazy spring and early summer. You mentioned to me earlier today you were on an NFL call. What does that mean? What can you share with us about what your afternoon was like today?
Well, we're just discussing, you know, the possible conversations that the league and the PA are having and trying to establish the guidelines, the protocols, the rules for us going forward.
Are you optimistic this is doable, Chico?
I am. I really am. They're really trying to do it the right way. You know, we're going through a lot of conversations with the player association. You know, the league and them are working very diligently to make sure they put, you know, all the safety precautions in place. They really do. I mean, this really is about making sure, you know, this really is about player safety and coaches and everybody. So I think they're trying to do things the right way.
Hey, Ron, I think we're all trying to figure out how to live with this pandemic, and we've seen it in some of the sports that have come back. There have been positive tests, but they've kept going. What has been your read on what the NFL's willingness is going to be for the inevitability of positive tests and how you're going to deal with that going forward?
Well, obviously that's what they're working on, on best practices. As far as trying to mitigate those types of circumstances and situations as they arrive. I think that's one of the things that they're really working on, is to make sure they do those things and get that correct.
We're talking to former Carolina Panthers.
Well, yeah, I don't think
I knew I was going to be the first one to do it. $20 in the jar.
Hey, Danny Mack, yeah. I don't have a little panther in me.
Yeah, you do. I bet you do. You will have a little panther. At least we didn't call you the San Diego Chargers linebackers coach anymore.
Thank goodness.
At least you had a head coach on your – hey, Cam Newton winds up going to the New England Patriots. The league, $7.5 million, a one-year deal. You needed backup help. You decided to go out and get Kyle Allen and trade a late-round draft pick for him instead. What do you suppose made 31 teams, other than Bill Belichick, shy away from Cam Newton? There's got to be a lot of uncertainty about his health going forward, I would think.
I think that's probably the biggest question mark, more so than anything else going forward. I would honestly, if the situation circumstances had allowed us, I would not have had any issue with that. I would have been very confident and comfortable in going after him and bringing him to be part of what we're doing here. Again, and to me, those circumstances would have been, going through an opportunity to see what we have in Dwayne. You know, because that's the one thing, is we've got a young quarterback drafted in the first round for a reason. A lot of people liked him. We liked him when we had an opportunity to evaluate him a couple of years ago, when he was coming out of the Ohio State. So, we've been in this tough situation because there's a number of veteran guys out there that we like, but we got to find out what we have in young guys. And that's the benefit of being a new head coach, is that we can go ahead and we can be patient. We can put these guys through
you know, through workouts and get to know what we have and feel good about it or don't feel good about it, and then we've got to go out and make some changes. But until we get that opportunity to know what we have, it would have been very hard to bring a guy in who's had such a solid career, who was a league MVP at one time, and expect the young guy to get his chances to grow. So I just felt that, you know, because of our circumstances, we could play this slow, and, you know, good for him. He went to New England, which I think is going to be a great spot for him, and I think he's going to have a lot of success.
Have you talked to him? Do you have any idea of how healthy Cam is?
I hadn't talked to him recently, but just based on the stuff that I've seen and some of the people that I've talked with, he's headed in the right direction. I mean, he's probably about as healthy as it gets from what I've seen on video. So I think he's ready to bust out. I really do. I mean, I would never bet against the young man. That's for sure.
And so do you think there would have been more interest in him if the pandemic wasn't happening and more teams would have been able to work him out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that would have been one of the things. Because, you know, now you get a chance to see what he can do. So you can see him healthy again. And if he's, you know, and if he showed very well, yeah, I would not be surprised. I mean, you know, I had a couple ideas of some places I thought he would end up. They ended up going another direction. And the thing I heard was nobody got a chance to work him out and see whether or not he was healthy.
Ron, your relationship during your time with Cam Newton was primarily good. There was a hiccup or two along the way. You benched him for a dress code violation to start a ball game, but both of you have had nothing but good things to say about each other as you have gone separate ways. For those who are not fans of Cam Newton, for those who say he's selfish, he's a hot dog, and his best years are far behind him, what would you say to those people?
Don't bet against him. I really wouldn't. I mean, first of all, you got to know who he is and understand what he's gone through. And he's a guy that always tried to do things, I think, because he's felt the pressure. He felt the pressure of being the number one pick. He's felt the pressure of having won the Heisman Trophy and being the number one pick. He's felt the pressure of being – a black quarterback, you know, and with all this stuff that's been heaped on him, and he's really had to find his way through it. And he's done a great job with it. And the thing that people see is how generous he is with his time and with young people. And I'm talking about, you know, high school, junior high, elementary school kids, how generous he is with his time and with his money and his efforts for those folks. I mean, that's the thing people don't see. You know, yeah, he is a hot dog. Yeah, he is. But he was having fun. You go back and look at the things that went on from his rookie season, you know, breaking the rookie pass. Now Andrew Luck broke it the next year after he said it, but he did that. And then you know, his third season in the league, he gets in the playoffs and we, you know, we win the division for the first time, and he had success in 14, he had success in 15. You know, he had a tough year in 16, came back in 17, and then the last couple of years he's been hurt. But, man, when he was healthy and playing, he's a dynamic player. So, you know, I hope he's healthy. I believe he's healthy from what I've seen. And I'm you know, I'm wishing him nothing but the best, because I think he really is a heck of a young man.
We're talking to Ron Rivera, Washington football coach, here on The Score. You mentioned Cam Newton being a black quarterback and dealing with that. There have been a lot of conversations in the sports world and in our country recently about race and racism in America. And I'm curious, as one of the few minority coaches in the NFL, what would you like to see the NFL do to make sure that there's better representation for minority coaches and executives?
Well, I think part of it is we got to make sure we can identify the talent, then mentor that talent, help develop that talent, make sure there's opportunities for that talent, make sure they're fair opportunities, and then give them the chance. You know, I think that's the one thing. One thing that's kind of stood out, and I think, and I believe it's still true, if you go back and you look at the percentage of minority head coaches in the league, and you look at their career success rate and compare that to all the other coaches and see what their career success rate, I still believe the minority coaches have a higher winning percentage or something like this. It's some stat that basically says that, you know, you got to give minorities opportunities. And they've got to earn them too. And that's the other thing too. They got to earn them. But you've got to create those opportunities and put it out there. Cause I'm telling you, there's some talented guys. I've been very fortunate to be around a number of them, and I've learned from a number of them. And I think that's the thing that can really help. is making sure that these guys are identified, these guys are being mentored, and all coaches are being mentored, and just see what happens.
Ron, before the Panthers gave you your first head coaching opportunity, you interviewed for a handful of jobs around the league. Is it obvious to a minority candidate when he is clearly a Rooney Rule candidate and the league is just checking that box?
You know, I think it can be. I never felt that. You know, obviously, and believe me, I would never know on the other side. But I never felt that. I always went in trying to earn those jobs, and I can tell you, you know, I felt like a couple of them were really to kick the tires to see what I'm about for future, you know, because a couple of times I know, you know, being a young guy, like I was, that you know, I wasn't quite ready, but just the fact that I got the opportunity, I wanted to go ahead and do those things, you know, let them kick the tires. You know, some of the best interviews I had, you know, felt really good about coming away from them. And when I got debriefed, you know, I reached out to the GMs and asked, hey, what happened? You know, what do I need to, you know, it was kind of a cold bucket of water on the head, you know, realizing that I wasn't as good as I thought. So, you know, there's a learning curve. And I think, you know, for me, getting the head coaching job that I did, when I did in 2011, I was more than ready by then.
What type of conversations, you know, football locker room is a diverse place, a lot of different backgrounds. What type of conversations around these issues have been having with your team, and are there any examples you can share of, you know, positive learning moments?
You know, it's like, well, I'll give you a great example. I mean, for Dwayne Haskins, you know, he and I text back and forth. We've talked a couple of times, and he went out to D.C. where there was obviously one of the major movements. And he had an opportunity to see what was going on and be part of it, you know, in a very positive and peaceful manner. And just talking to him afterwards and just kind of listening to him. And I think just the revelation of what he saw, what he learned, I think it really helped him. I really did. And again, I think it also helped him in the eyes of several of his teammates when they saw that, hey, he went down there. He got involved. That was pretty deep of him.
Ron, since the George Floyd murder and all the fallout, it's my understanding you have been very communicative electronically with your team about unity. What was your message to your football players and your staff?
Well, you know, it was a very tough situation. You know, mostly because, you know, I did it over Zoom, and I felt awkward on Zoom. I'd much rather do it in person. But when we did do it, you know, it was about, hey, we all don't know. We, you know, some of us can empathize, but we're here to listen. We're here to understand. We're here to figure out what we need to do. But we also wanted to make sure we were going to take action, you know, because time for doing is now. And that's one of the things that we talked about. You know, we had a Zoom call to the organization. We had over 300 people on it. So we decided, you know, I would just make some comments. And then we were going to have these five town halls where we put about 50 to 60 people in each one of them so that they could talk and they wouldn't talk over each other. And they were led by some of our leaders. We have a sports psychologist. We have a pastor, our director of player development. Myself, Doug Williams, a young woman who's one of our coaches, a lady named Jennifer King, who's actually was a retired police officer. You know, so we were in these things and we had a chance to talk to and listen. And that was probably the thing. I think that a lot of people just wanted to be heard. And what we're trying to do is find out what we can do. What actions can we go out? How can we get into the community to help with the Black Lives Matter movement and help with the with the relationship between the police officers and the community, and fix that and figure out the best way to help, because, you know, we've got to make sure that what happened to George Floyd doesn't ever happen again.
Ron, given all of these conversations that you're having with your football team, do you think your football team's name should change?
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era,
You know, that was always part of football, the name of the Washington Redskins.
Do you mean another time from this radio show, because, or another time with the moment? Because like a lot of monuments are changing, people are changing.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing. But you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era. That when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. You know, that's one of the tough things for me too. Is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate. You know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics. You know, while I was coaching, and I kept telling them, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things.
Do you feel, Ron, like because you're Hispanic, people feel like that's your responsibility to be at the forefront of that?
I do. At times I do. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, and I get it every time I do interviews and people want to talk about my background. Is, you know, they ask me, do you feel it? I do. I feel I don't want to call it a burden. I feel a responsibility. And I get it, you know, because, you know, I go back home and I see a lot of young guys, see a lot of young Hispanic guys. I spoke at my high school's graduation. In fact, I spoke out and I did a virtual one for them this year. I spoke about 6 or 7 years ago. I spoke in person, and then this year I did a virtual one for them. And the school is the majority of the students are Hispanic. And I told them, I said, look, hey, if I can come from that area, you can too. You can be what you want to be, but you've got to make the commitment to go out and work and work hard at it. And I told them, I said, hey, you have that chance. I mean, it's difficult because everybody's path, everybody's road is different. Mine was different. You know, mine had its ups and its downs. It has its positives, its negatives. But, you know, we can all succeed.
How do you anticipate your team, or maybe it'll be an individual decision, handling the national anthem this year?
Well, it'll be an individual decision. You know, one thing that I did, and before I made comments to the organization, I went back and I did this. When we went out and we brought Eric Reed in when I was in Carolina, and Eric's the other guy that initially kneeled with Colin Kaepernick, I wanted to understand. So what I did was we interviewed Eric. We talked to him only about football, and we signed him. It was all about football. Afterwards, I'd gone out and I'd read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the amendments, the preamble, and the oath of office. And when you read all that stuff and you realize, you know, in the First Amendment, it talks about rights and freedoms, you know, freedom of speech. And then you read the second one, which is the right to bear arms, and you sit there and think, you know, well, if you're going to support, you know, because there's people out there support the Second Amendment and so strongly, and people oppose it. Well, if you're going to be strong about one amendment, you're going to be strong about them all. And so the honest truth about it is we're entitled to, because it's about free speech. So that's the way it is. So to me, you know, guys, they make their decision, they choose to do what they're going to do, and I'm going to support them, because again, it's in the Constitution. It's one of our rights. It's one of our God-given rights as an American citizen. So that's where I stood with Eric Reed and any player that wanted to do that.
If an NFL owner, Ron, I'm sorry for interrupting. If an NFL owner were to say to his team, we're going to keep it in the locker room during the anthem, I don't want to listen to the debates, would you describe that as cowardly?
No, I would say at the end of the day, it's his decision. But, you know, you're going to have to listen. I think this is one of those things where you really, truly have to listen to your players. You have to listen so you can understand. One of my favorite sayings in life is, help me understand so that I may be understood, which means basically you've got to listen. And then when I talk, you've got to listen to me.
Yeah, you know, and I think that when it comes to the football team name, I know the mayor of D.C. said something about it, and it's a dictionary-defined slur. You don't strike me as someone who is going to be afraid of that conversation. Like, you will at least listen to the argument when that conversation comes up, right?
Well, I'll just say this: I've done a lot of research on a lot of things that I do. I don't go into any conversation not prepared.
We will get into your football team at some point next time we have you on, Ron. It's just there have been so many things other than football keeping us occupied. Always great having you on board. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
But, you know, that's my point, though. Let's stick to football.
Yeah.
Let's get back to football.
It'd be
hey,
easier.
Once you guys start playing games, we'd love to talk about football with you, Chico. You guys drafted a hell of a pass rusher.
I appreciate that, guys. You guys take care.
Thanks, Ron. Be good.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.